It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
The police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
The police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Just a minute, you can't amend the First Amendment. You're offended, I defend it all the time. So let's take another sip. Don't hold back and let her rip, cause in the end you'll be left and I'll be right.
We don't do that much screaming and yelling here, do we?
I don't think so.
No? Are you there?
I'm here, but I may not be there.
Well, you're kind of... Let's see. Give me a check right on that one.
Check.
Right, perfect. Yeah. Well, you know, we're a for-profit radio station. We do that kind of stuff all the time, right? No, sometimes you just get...
In the old days to Speak Out, there's a lot more yelling.
On these analog boards, you get oxidation in the channels.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure you deal with that kind of stuff with... older HVAC equipment,
sure.
Right? So, all right, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Thursday, August 13th.
I think I'm
going to
oxidize if the humidity doesn't go down, though.
You're going to oxidize?
Yeah.
Keep taking those minerals, man. Thursday, August 13th, 2026, we're with District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. Woohoo!
Yay.
We got rave reviews on our election night coverage. Because you were on the show.
Oh, yeah?
That's according to Mr. Greeley.
Interesting.
Yes, absolutely. No, I had a good time. What are you going to say? You know, the county didn't get the results in as expected by 10:30 for the second stop.
Yeah, no, we would have had to stay till 12:20 a.m. Wednesday. They made another drop. I think they did a good job with the election, though, myself.
I do, too.
I think both the recorder and our election director did a good job.
The problem isn't Kingman. The problem is the people turning in ballots that are in envelopes that go to on election day.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, if you have an early ballot, the sooner you drop that, the faster you're going to get results because those all have to be verified as they come in.
Well, I talked to Jan Brewer yesterday on the show.
Oh, did
I? Yeah. And we were talking, she's part of, I knew I was going to mess this up. Here it is. Right Count, Arizona. And she's the executive board chair for the Arizona board. There's different states have different boards. And, yeah, Matt Salmon's on that board,
too. Oh, is he good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Matt's a good guy.
The
Governor Brewer's a good gal, too.
She's a hoot. She was fun.
She and I didn't see eye to eye on the bills, my bills that she vetoed, but all in all, I supported her throughout her career.
But she said that they're able now to walk their ballots in the envelope, and as long as they show their ID in that, they can open, verify, and drop it.
Yeah, that but speeds that up.
I don't think that's true because I believe there's a referendum on the ballot, question 144, if I remember right. That's going to allow for that because Fontes doesn't like that.
I believe my assistant Valerie did that at the election.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. They don't open, so she dropped hers and her significant other
in the ballot. Signed envelope.
Yeah, but they verified her signature, but not his because he was not there. So hers gets verified, his does not. And she didn't drop them at the on election day. She dropped them prior to that.
I was standing in line on election day at the Quality Inn, and about six people back from the table, and about three people, just as I was standing there waiting in line, turned theirs in an envelope. And I thought, wow, you know, you had this much time.
Right.
How much time did you have to get that in, and you waited till election day to slow up the process?
Yeah, and the recorder's going to ask us at our board meeting on Monday whether she can have an emergency poll, which they've been doing at her office. Somebody has to stay there from Friday night until, I guess, Monday night.
Right.
And if we choose to do this, but no one showed up last time. So you have to have somebody staff it. It's like, man, you've had 30 days to vote early, or darn near 30 days. And something, so theoretically, this is like something that came up after the last day of early voting, and you're not going to be able to vote on election day, but yet nobody uses it. And it, you know, the people died so that you could have the right to vote.
Exactly.
My ancestor got captured by Tories.
Really?
Yeah. He'd fought in the regular army. He did a tour.
The Tories the same as the Hessians?
No, Tories were Americans
who fought for the British. Oh, those little traitors!
Yeah, and he actually, I'm trying to think, it was the Battle of somebody's mill.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and there's actually, it was a battle between 400 Patriots and 1,200 Tories in North Carolina, and the Tories or the Patriots routed the Tories.
Was that during the Revolutionary War?
Revolutionary War.
Because there was a war of 1812.
Right. I'm familiar with that.
And the Creek fought with the British.
Right.
And turns out...
A lot of the tribes fought. You had tribes on both sides. It's kind of interesting.
Turns out the woman I went on vacation with, that we were old friends, we went up to Central Coast, she's 25% Creek.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I've always thought, and we were listening to the Daniel Boone story on those American stories that we run at night.
Right.
And I had heard it, and I replayed it, and I'm like, no, this explains a lot. You know? They massacred people. The Creek did. So that's Daniel Boone was famous for defeating them in one of the battles of the War of 1812.
Yeah, the War 1812, you had tribes on both sides, which is kind of interesting. But following the Revolution, a lot of the Tories either went back to Britain or went to Canada.
928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. You'd like to ask a question of District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. And what became, we heard things on election night about election, the counting, and the public was shooed out of there.
Well, no.
Remember?
Yeah, the reporter for the newspaper out of Kingman wanted to.
It wasn't Hawkins, was it?
No, it wasn't Hawkins. It was somebody that works for the miner.
The miner, okay.
And I got a call. Brandon Messick called me up and said, "Hey, they kicked our gal, won't let our gal in the building." And it was just that they had made no provisions for anybody to be in the building. We fixed that though. We're going to have, actually, I upped it from one sheriff deputy to two deputies because one deputy. If, let's say something went bad, somebody decided to steal the ballots, it would be handy to have two deputies there rather than one.
Right.
You know, and it's coming out of the supervisor's budgets anyway, so we ponied up for the security.
We had a phone call, and then now they just hung up, so.
But the...
There we go. Probably had bad coverage. Go ahead.
But we fixed that, so the public's going to be able to go into that building. And it's kind of, since you can watch the count room online now, there's not that much demand to sit there and watch the count room.
Well, Dave Hawkins was upset because they used to have a party.
Yeah.
You know?
And I can't do anything about it. I guess we could throw a shindig, too, but...
We also used to have three supervisors, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think... We didn't go as far as to to sanction a party. If you want to have a party there, that's fine. Show up. And it's good to have actually eyes on the situation.
Sure. All right, let's go to the phones. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Gould, have you noticed all the ads about Andy Biggs where he's gonna jack all the taxes up 23%? They've been barging people. Have you noticed those?
Oh, they're horrible.
I haven't seen the ads because I don't watch television.
It's a flat tax.
Okay, well, let me tell you, I found out they're being delivered under the Katie Hobbs to the Northern Navajo County Democratic Party.
Okay.
And they're filtering the money there. I called the Republicans after I couldn't get a Democrat. They've had a split on the fundraisers down south, and they're funneling this money through the Navajo County Democratic Party, and they're putting up these ads about 23% raising all the taxes. Well, last night, the local media, after weeks on the major networks out of Phoenix, two of them picked up on it, and that was had something to do with federal taxes and eliminating the, I believe, from what they said, the income tax, the federal. It had nothing to do with Arizona, but
right.
they leave you hanging these commercials. Oh, he's going to, on your groceries are going up, this is going up, that's going up.
Yeah, and no, I'm familiar. It's national sales tax is what it is.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah, and it had nothing to do with Arizona, but they keep hammering him and just leaving it at Arizona's taxes are going to go up 23% because of this. The president of the Navajo County Democratic Party is Missa Foy.
Okay.
And she is, the money's being funneled from what the Democrats up there said out of Phoenix up here because they had a split with their own fundraisers. My question is it okay to put her phone number out online? Everybody can call Ms. Foy and ask her why this deception?
I don't know.
It's a blatant deception.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Well, it's a half truth.
Scam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what they're talking about is national sales tax. So,
but they don't tell you that.
Right. See, what Biggs wanted to do is get rid of the income tax and go to a national sales tax. The problem is half of the nation doesn't pay income tax.
Oh,
right.
I see.
So, you know, I might get a tax cut, but if you're somebody that's low income enough that they don't pay income tax anyway, then they would be paying 28% sales tax.
Caught up in the net. Okay,
yeah,
it's
because we've created a situation where half of our nation doesn't pay income tax.
Right.
They
right.
have no skin in the game. So any kind of something that would create a sales tax is going to hit them where they're not paying taxes now.
Well, and then they're not portraying it that way. That's
right. And the same thing when we cut taxes, if we cut income taxes, they cry that there's nothing there for them. Well, yeah, because you're not paying income tax anyway.
Right.
But they can run stuff through. I'm treasurer for the Arizona Republican Party. They can move money through a county party. That's legit.
Our
party has done it in the past. And they tried to do it through Mojave County. And this was when John McCain was senator and not particularly popular with the rank-and-file Republican precinct committeeman.
Right.
They were afraid that the chairman,
say the least.
The chairman who was not a McCain fan at the time, they were afraid he was not going to spend the money that came down from the federal level on McCain's campaign. So they tried to run it through Mojave County, and we kiboshed that. And then they ended up running it through Yuma County. But it's legal to do it. It's
just
campaign finance is complicated. But political advertising, people take an acorn and they grow a mighty oak tree, a spin out of that acorn.
Sure. Yeah, you're seeing so many of these commercials. And finally, I had to find out what's behind all this. I mean, is it really my taxes going to go up, my sales tax 23% out of nowhere? That's what it's a scare tactic that they're using. And
you would also pay no payroll tax for Social Security.
Oh, yeah. Andy Biggs was on last night with two of the bigger networks starting to explain this, but they've hit so hard over the last month with these commercials. Any common person would be going, oh, no, I don't want this, you know.
Right.
It's void of morals. It's what the bottom line
is. It is. You're right.
Right. Yeah, it's deceptive advertising.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a great day.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I got another comment about
Andy Biggs, you know that he's not going to do anything to raise your taxes.
But
the guy is as bad as I am about not wanting to raise taxes.
But we're talking about Maricopa County.
Right.
And that's a big block of voters that they're hitting – I mean, I know they're hitting the whole state, but those people don't care. They just see that he's a Republican, and they want to demonize him, so
sure.
there's a good reason not to vote for him.
Sure.
Okay, so the lieutenant governor picks.
Yeah.
I don't recall the name of the woman that Biggs chose, but I know she's a rural dairy farmer.
Right.
And then Hobbs picks an urban
Rhino.
Former mayor, Rhino Giles.
The guy was a Rhino when I was in the legislature.
But doesn't that capture more voters? Isn't that the smart move?
For her, it's probably a smart move, except Giles is a Rhino, and I don't even know why he bothers. He only registers as a Republican, so they can claim he's a Republican, so he can endorse
right.
So he can endorse the Democrat.
I get that. But still, we're
if
talking
we had
about voter appeal.
The party
appeal.
Would vote him out of the party if we actually had that ability.
We're talking about voter appeal here.
Sure.
I know that Biggs chose a woman, and she's rural, which
right.
is good.
Right.
But now you've got... not only a Rhino, but a moderate, right? And an ultra-liberal. I think she's ultra-liberal. So doesn't that kind of...
Katie Hobbs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And she can't run on a record.
No, she's incompetent anyway.
Well,
you
that's
know,
my
you,
opinion,
you've
too.
You've got the issue where she rewarded her buddy that runs youth homes. You know, the guy made a big campaign or contribution
yeah.
to her inaugural party.
Paid,
and then
pay
suddenly...
To play.
Suddenly he gets an increase in the rates that he's able to charge.
She's in a pay-to-play scandal, and nobody will publicize it or investigate it. The
right.
attorney general's a Democrat. You know, if Abe Hamadeh would have won,
right.
she might not survive this
a
election.
A particular judge in our county might have had an effect on that had he ruled properly.
Jansen, yeah, for sure. All right,
or timely.
Probably a good time to take a break. We should come back and talk a little airport stuff, you think?
Sure.
Interesting executive session. I know you can't talk about what happened in
yeah,
the session.
Yeah, I gotta be careful because we're in a lawsuit.
Yeah, but I got notes.
Sure.
Back with more in a moment. A little Luke Combs on the way, even though I'm leaving. Dedicate this one to the troops. Thank you for your service, all you veterans out there listening to the show. I don't believe we have a show tomorrow, but we'll return on Monday. We'll let you know who's on the schedule next week. Sometime during this hour. So I'm Paul Lavoie along with District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. And yes, we will be doing a general election night show.
Yay!
Again, we're going to do an encore. Only
so we'll celebrate Biggs' victory.
Only because we have local races to report on. I don't think we did last time. It was mostly
well, we have
federal.
Local races that I can predict
yeah.
the outcome of.
We've got local races. We have here. We have Bullhead.
We have a school board race, too.
Bullhead City's got a runoff.
Uh-huh.
We've got a school board race.
School board race. Havasu's got a runoff.
We got LD30,
yeah.
state reps. And, yeah, there's a lot.
I can easily predict that one. But
and the big one, kind of the sneaky little one, is the Corporation Commission.
Yeah, that might be interesting.
Four incumbents on the list right now, right? And then you got Heap is the outsider.
Yeah.
And the incumbents are not liked. I just know that much.
It's a tough job.
You think?
Because you have to... I personally don't think they dig down deep enough into the rate increases myself.
I got you.
That's what I've always thought.
Well, no. When, you know, they claim your rates are going to go up 8% and they go up 24%, you know?
Right.
Three times that. Back with more in a moment. I'm going to get in trouble. Stay with us. We'll be back on Speak Out. Even though you're leaving, I ain't going.
Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street, where all the people see.
They call that the Ron Gould method.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to remind everybody...
My own method involves four concrete blocks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And an ocean?
And the lake works, too.
Oh, nice.
Because the Bible tells us
wow.
that some people that hurt children, it would be better for them if they were cast... They had a millstone tied around their neck and they'd be cast into the sea.
Hopefully Metro doesn't hear this, and next time they, you know, find these barrels and stuff down at the bottom of Lake Mead
yeah.
that are surfacing.
Yeah. I didn't say I did it, but I think they deserve it.
I want to remind our listeners. Actually, I want to announce to our listeners. I haven't even reminded them yet about the candidates forum, the general election candidates forum.
Interesting.
We're doing it, school board candidates, LD30, state rep. Let's see. Hopefully we'll have Jenny Koch and Neil Tinsley.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're, you know, there's going to be a lot of tight races this general election.
Yeah, they were, what were they, 200 apart, maybe?
I believe so.
They're pretty close.
Anyway, September 23rd at the PAC, the Performing Arts Center at the high school. Doors open at 5, and the event starts at 5:30. We'll have it simulcast here on KNTR Talk, and it'll be a little bit different. We're going to host it. There's no other... Oh. It'll be us in the Today's News Herald.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Chamber of Commerce
nope.
isn't getting in it.
Nope.
Interesting.
Nope, nope,
wonder
nope.
why.
Nope. And Leo Piasucci is going to host.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I'm told. So hopefully he'll use the SAG card talents that he has, and he can walk the stage and, you know, do a little
bit. Oh, does he have a, he's got an actor's union?
He used to.
Part?
I don't
That's
know if he
funny.
Does anymore. He used to. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage also. Oh, love those guys. Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, and Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. And don't forget to patronize our sponsors and tell them, man, you guys know what you're doing. You're sponsoring Speak Out. I listen to you and I hear your names every day on the air. So thank you for making that possible, right?
Yeah.
What's this you told me about a constable? He resigned?
Yeah, we had the Serbat court constable. The constables are assigned to a justice court. And Eddie Carmen is the constable was the constable for the Serbat court. And he decided to resign, but what made it interesting is he'd already won the Republican primary. So every time something like this happens, we have to hash out what the details are and how this is going to work. So the board, that seat is now vacant, and the board can fill that seat. But it's interesting, he resigned in 90 days.
What?
So he said, my resignation's effective in 90 days.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting, but I got to thinking about it, and we can declare his seat vacant after 30 days anyway, if we want to.
I've never heard of anybody doing this.
Yeah, that's just kind of...
I've heard of companies giving you 90 days, or possibly,
sure.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, this is an elected position. It's constable serve documents for the Justice Court.
Right.
A lot of their stuff involves evictions and things like that. But, so he'd won the Republican primary, so we... had to get him to pull his name off of the remove his name from the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen is the county Republican Party precinct committeemen will caucus, and then we'll choose a new candidate, and we'll put that person's name will then go on the ballot. So if you happen to live in the boundaries of the Serbat Justice Court and you're interested in being the constable for that area, get a hold of Janet Wilson is the current party chairman. You can get a hold of Janet or get a hold of me, and I'll can direct you up there.
Is that Kingman? Which
yeah,
part?
it's basically it's one of the two that serves the Kingman area.
I got you. Let's talk about the airport.
Sure.
I don't know how much you can talk about. But
yeah, I'm somewhat limited because a lot of it is executive session stuff, and then we're involved in a lawsuit also, so that you know, you really don't want to... let any strategy
okay.
go. But basically, the airport belongs to the county. It's leased to the airport authority for a dollar. Not a dollar a month.
Right.
Not a dollar a year. $1.
A dollar in perpetuity?
Yeah. Well, not in perpetuity for the run of the lease.
Okay.
And it had been renewed once, and I believe it goes up out into like 2040 something.
So it was like a Mexican lease, like a 50-year deal?
Where yeah.
You lease property in Mexico?
Yeah, and it was interesting because I said, so when do we get our dollar? And Luke Mardian was the finance director at the time. He goes, no, supervisor, you misunderstand. It's $1 for the whole lease. It's not a dollar a year. And I thought maybe we got like a ceremony where we get the ceremonial dollar.
Well, do you actually receive a dollar when there's $630,000 in the hole for
the
year?
We got our buck already. So.
I was going to say. All right, let's go to the phones. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Nice to hear your voice, Ron. It's been a long time. I don't listen to Speak Out very often anymore, but I heard you were going to be on, so I thought I'd listen.
Sounds good.
All right.
You brought up Constable, I believe.
Yeah.
That one. I just had a comment to make about the constable situation in like Havasu, period. A friend of mine has a restraining order against a guy, and, you know, it's been 6 months. They've tried to deliver it once, and they didn't do it. So that person keeps getting emails. Well, you know, we still haven't delivered it, but the only time we delivered it was this one time they tried. One time. Are they that busy down there?
I couldn't tell you.
You know, it's really crazy. I mean, it just blows me away that could be that way. You know what I mean? When somebody has a legitimate, you know, restraining order, and those are the people responsible for delivering it. Now, this person could take it from them and pay somebody to do it, but, I mean, isn't that their job? I mean, I just don't know. You know what I mean?
He probably paid the constable to do it, too. The constable, I don't think, does it for free unless it's domestic violence. If it's domestic violence related, then they serve it. I think they serve it for nothing.
Yeah, I was just wondering because, you know, just weird how it's been 6 months and they still haven't served this individual, and then that individual drives down her boss's street, which is crazy. You know what I mean? It's like, really? Okay, but it's a legitimate work thing, but still, you know, that address is on the order, and it's just weird.
Yeah, they should probably give the constable a call and prod him to get that thing
served.
Oh, they
tried. Believe me. Oh, interesting. Believe me. It's been attempted, just so you know.
And constables are elected positions, and they stand for election.
I know.
And really, the board is all we have control as board of supervisors is over their rate that they're paid and their salary. That's the two things that we control.
They get any kind of stipend or commission from what they serve?
No. And if they
can't generate enough money
to pay their salary.
Hold on, caller. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, who's their supervisor? Who's right above them?
You are.
You are the voter.
The voter is. Yeah, it's strange because there's really, you could complain to, there's a constable ethics and training board. And you could complain to them, but I don't think they have any real authority over the constables. It's kind of it's just Arizona likes to elect things, you know, and that theoretically the voters are supposed to pay attention, and if somebody's not doing their job, you know, somebody else is supposed to stand up and run for it.
Huh.
But you guys
are just talking about, that's the only reason I brought it up, because it's kind of just a weird situation. I can't believe they haven't served this individual, and, you know, it's just crazy to me, but it is what it is. Because,
yeah,
you know,
unless the guy's really good at dodging service.
Right.
But the crazy thing is, I got a friend that got served in the county the day after that it was filed, but they were served by the sheriff.
Oh.
Interesting. I know I got served by a process server from the ACLU one time.
Why?
Yeah, no, I was in the bathroom, and my wife goes, "Hey, Ron, there's somebody at the door." And I go, "Okay." So I go out to the door thinking it's just somebody wants either an air conditioning question or a political question, because I just gotten done with my term as senator.
He's like, "Ron Gould?"
Yeah, and he goes, "You're Ron Gould? Yeah, you've been served." He hands me the subpoena from ACLU. They were going after about a dozen of us that were fighting illegal immigration. But they had filed it. The attorney was able to quash it because they had filed in Georgia, of all places. And the law says you have to file in a local federal court. But yeah, I keep prodding the constable and see if you can get him to serve it. Maybe he's listening.
You still there? I think we lost him. All right. Well, if he's still listening, which I'm sure he is off the air, I remember that caller. He used to call a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why he doesn't anymore. He starts really calm, and then he gets more passionate.
Oh, yeah. Worked,
yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say irate, but he gets more passionate.
Uh-huh.
All right? So there you go. All right. Let's go ahead and take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about, I don't know how much we can talk about the airport, but I'll find something.
Okay. Maybe it is a hot issue. It's going to be a big deal.
$700,000. I mean, well, no, the county's taking on debt. That's the main issue, isn't it? They don't think they're taking on debt?
I don't know if we're going to be responsible for that debt.
Oh.
We don't believe that the individual had the authority to put the airport into debt.
Are you talking about Mr. Scheller?
Correct.
The director?
Correct.
He claims he got board approval, but not your board, the other board, obviously.
Well,
right?
They gave him approval to go looking.
All right.
They didn't give him approval to sign.
I got you. Let's talk about it when we come back. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Thanks for making this talk radio, not just listen radio, because you are the reason we have Speak Out, the listener, right?
Correct.
If you're not there, you're not calling in, we don't know that you're listening. They're going to say, hey, Paul, you want to do something besides Speak Out? Anyway, or 928-727-5566. My guest is District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a statue of liberty started shaking her fist.
There you go, Ron. Banned by NBC.
Banned by NBC.
Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, also Mojave College, Solar Power by Ismay Electric, by Dorita's Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. Man, I miss Toby. Good stuff. That's just good stuff. Patriotic. But, no, we were talking off the air about this airport authority deal and the county taking over, no more lease agreement. Is that in effect now since the supervisors voted 5-0?
Yeah, we voted to eminent domain it.
Okay.
So our lawyer's going to be in the process of eminent domain.
But I think it was last Friday. No, it wasn't last Friday. It was the Friday before I went on vacation. Rich Lettman sitting right there.
Right. Yeah, I heard most of that show.
And I said to him, isn't this contrary to what you believe in as a conservative? You're growing government. You're taking over something that's going to be its own animal within the Mojave County government, right?
Well,
and you assume their debt.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that we assume all of their debt.
Okay. How does that happen?
Well, I'm not sure that $700,000 was legal.
Okay.
And that they borrowed that from the fuel supplier.
Right.
And they also signed an exclusive agreement to buy fuel from that fuel supplier, which
Titan Fuels.
Yeah, which violates procurement law.
Yeah, 700. Yeah, it's Title 28.
But you know, if you ask me, would you like to build an airport? I would say no. But I have an airport dropped in my lap that I have to deal with, and the model of these privately run boards is flawed. It doesn't work right. The voters elected the Board of Supervisors to run the county's business, and previous boards have decided to have somebody else run the business of that airport. And we saw the same thing with the Kingman Airport. Was a military airport. Mm-hmm. It was given to the county. The county gave it to the city. The city gave it to an airport authority. The airport authority went rogue, and then the city had to eminent domain it back from that rogue board, and the city now controls it. And the taxpayers expect them to control it. Saying that you had this outside board come in, you gave your asset to an outside board, they're in charge, is just a bad model.
Okay. Interesting. It's a there's a lot of assets there, though, with this airport, Laughlin Bullhead.
Right, and people think about the land that surrounds that. Currently, the where Sam's Club is and where Home Depot is, that's county land. They're paying rent to not the county. They're paying rent to the airport authority.
Soon to be Olive Garden, by the way.
Right, they're getting an Olive Garden in Bullhead City, right by in that area by Home Depot.
Yeah, right in view of the all those windows on Casino Drive,
sure,
right?
Sure. And they're really happy about it.
Yeah, they are. They're happy.
It was kind of funny. I was joking that if we didn't vote to... They asked, with what's going on, Olive Garden asked us to sign the lease because they wanted to make sure they had a real lease.
Ah.
So we went ahead and signed that, and I was joking that if the only one that would take a political hit if we didn't sign it is Rich... I said, because the people in Kingman and Bullhead City are mad because Kingman and Havasu are mad because Bullhead City got an Olive Garden.
Go drive up there if you like it so much. You know, I mean, we already have, you know, Angelina's.
Right.
We have La Vida Dolce, and we have Mario's.
Right, right.
I mean, it's three times the fun right there.
Yeah.
And, in my opinion, better food.
Sure.
So
I would agree.
All right.
I would agree.
Perfect.
But everybody, it's the... if you could bring Olive Garden in, if you were the mayor and you brought in an Olive Garden, you would be mayor for life, I think.
And I don't have anything against Trader Joe's, but I'm a Prime subscriber.
Uh-huh.
And that gives me a lot of discounts at Whole Foods.
Okay.
I mean, when you go into Whole Foods, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of tags there that say this is a Prime discount.
Interesting.
Because Prime owns, you know, they own that.
I think I've been in Whole Foods once.
Oh, it's a fantastic store. I love that store.
Probably 10 years ago.
I can't leave it. It's like Walmart where you go in for one thing and you leave with, you know, 10.
Yeah, that's why they give you a cart.
That's why they give you a cart. Exactly. All right, we have a little bit of time left. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, my name is Mark. I'm calling from Golden Shores Towpoc, and I have a question for Ron.
Sure.
Ron, there's a major project going on east of town out here, and rumor has it that it's an Elon Musk solar field going in called the Sterling Project. And I thought that Mojave County had a moratorium on those kind of projects right now.
That's actually the mythical town of Sterling.
Right.
That was originally supposed to be a community that was going to be powered by a Sterling heat engine, because there's some geothermal hot water in that area. That's never materialized, so it's morphed into various things. As far as I know, it has nothing to do with Elon Musk. It's the developers of that project. They had approval before we changed the rules on solar farms and data centers.
They're grandfathered in?
Yeah, basically. They're grading a road right now, making a bunch of dust. And that's on federal land, so we have some limited authority over that. We have staff taking a look at getting them to see what they're going to do with dust control. The other problem is their development agreement predates our dust control ordinance, so we can't enforce our dust control ordinance on them. But I think that was approved for solar about 5 years ago. And I don't think they had a purchase power agreement at that time. You have to get a purchase power agreement with the utility supplier. It's basically that says that we'll, if you build a solar plant, we'll buy your power. And they didn't have that at that time. But as far as I know, it has nothing to do with Elon Musk. And it's neither.
Is that going to limit us local residents here off-roading ability in that part of the desert?
It's not on. It's on private land anyway. That road goes from Polaris Road up to another road that's also called Polaris. Strangely enough, if you look on the map, it's strange. So they're cutting a road up there. They're supposed to pave Polaris Road also.
I don't understand the reference to Elon Musk. Was that a positive, a negative, or just information purposes only?
Well, I had heard that he had guaranteed to buy the power that was coming out of that facility for the Tesla chargers.
Interesting. I can look that up and bring it in next when I come in next month, or put it out as a presser or something. We'll look, because we can probably get a hold of that purchase power agreement and take a look at whether it's got anything to do with Elon Musk. If it's got to have,
it's not like he's a fugitive. Or
no,
something.
I'd rather if I got to sell it to somebody, I'm okay selling it with Elon. But I'd kind of like to know what
he's
know
a
what's
U.S.
going
citizen,
on.
Right?
Yeah,
it's not like we're selling it to Saudi Arabia.
No,
right.
Thank you.
But if it goes to California,
he's an African American now. So.
Yeah, right. All right, we appreciate the phone
call. Yeah, let me take a look at and see if we can get a hold of that purchase power agreement. But that's what that project is. They're going to pave Polaris Road's terrible. If you ever had to drive a car on it, Razor's not too bad, but a car, it's a tough road. You got all those cobbles, you know, that it's just a tough road to drive on. So that'd be a positive. But their project's a little ways away. I kind of thought it was about 12 miles. East of
it appears to be right along the power lines.
Okay.
The power.
Yeah, I'm
road.
Sure they're going to make their connection on those transmission lines.
You guys in Towpoc, last time I went that way to Bullhead City, there's a new housing development out there. It looks like.
Oh, that's a. It's a.
They're what are those called? The.
Like park model.
The park model.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an RV park that went in between the marina and town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you drive right through the middle of it, which is kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. Yeah. It's like right there. Go ahead.
It's right in the area when it rains and floods, you can't get in or out for a couple days.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Warm Springs Wash really really floods. Yeah. I know we dealt pretty much with 90% of the flooding on Sacramento Wash.
How do they get away with the development like that if it's so flood prone?
Their development's not going to flood because it's above the. But they're going to. They may end up
trapped in there.
Yeah, they may end up between Warm Springs Wash and Sacramento Wash.
And there's so much. It's not that they made the improvements to Sacramento Wash, but you have all the other dips and the areas in there that flood on that road all the way to Courtright.
Right, right. Yeah, if you're stuck, even if you got past Warm Springs Wash, you're not getting up to Mojave Valley.
So anyway, thank you. We always appreciate hearing from Topak or Golden Shores,
all right,
or
guys.
Whichever side of the street you're on.
Yeah, let me get a hold of that purchase power agreement, and we'll see who they're selling their power to.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I wanted to get to the library since that's one of your favorite topics.
Yeah, my wife just sent
aren't
me.
You the,
some,
aren't you the book czar or something like that?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, my wife says the name of that project is Dwell. That's
I thought it had something to do with Havasu in the name.
Yeah, if you were going to promote something, you would probably use Havasu rather than Topak, because nobody would really know where Topak is. And Havasu was the highest recorded temperature
in
for
Arizona.
100 years until we moved the thermometer.
Right, right. So tell me about the library. You had news.
So we had an issue.
Holy cow. Janice likes the text.
No, that's Valerie, too.
Oh, okay.
Let me turn the sound off on my phone. Okay.
Right. Perfect.
My fault. A couple of months ago we had an issue on donated books. I thought these donated books were inappropriate for young adults. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to be for young adults.
They were sexual in nature.
Yeah, they were sexual in nature, transgender issues and homosexual issues and things like that. I thought they were inappropriate for a public library. So we attempted to we rejected those books. We were able to reject the donation of those books. Took a bunch of heat from people because I'm not a library expert. But the voters actually voted me to be on the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors sits as the board for the libraries district. And I just thought those books were inappropriate for a publicly funded library. So I wanted to reform. The library has no controls over what books kids check out. So if you get your kid a library book, a library card, and even if you don't, he can go in there and read anything that's in there.
As long as they're 11, right?
Yeah, they're old enough to be on, I think it's 11, to be in the library unaccompanied by a parent or guardian. I want to see some controls on that, and we need to come up with a rating system of, the kids up to, 10 or something, and then can check out this, and then 10 to 18 can check out that. And some things I think should be only, you should have to be an adult to check out. Mm-hmm. The problem is you have to come, you can do that on videos, movies, because they are rated by the Motion Picture Authority. But nobody rates books, and clearly the library can't be trusted to rate books, or they wouldn't have tried to put those unacceptable books in our library. So that's really going to be the rub, is how you going to rate these books.
Is that where we're at right now?
Yeah,
we have a last call to take. So
that's basically where we are now.
Okay. We got to make this quick, caller. You're live on Speak Out. Hello? Are you there? Well, I must have got butt dialed or something, right? So are you putting that on a future agenda?
Well, it's not. We taxed the board voted to have the library department bring that back to us with the changes they'd like to make.
Okay.
So we're looking. I'm going over those changes now. And they somehow have it stuck in their head that you cannot censor a child.
What?
Which is really interesting, because if I send my grandson Vinny into the liquor store, they're not going to sell him an adult magazine.
And a movie theater is not supposed to let a kid into an R-rated movie.
Exactly, exactly.
You can censor a child.
Yeah,
that's why they're a child.
Right. Their rights, their constitutional rights flow through their parents.
Where
or guardians.
Do these people come up with this stuff?
I don't know. And it's
from Berkeley?
Yeah, and they act as if somehow we're we're undermining the parents. I would say if we give children the ability to get that material, we are then undermining their parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they should be helping. We should be helping them not to have their child see inappropriate stuff, yeah. Not facilitating inappropriate.
It's an extreme comparison, but like the transgender comparison with the schools in California that don't tell parents.
You mean the school here in Havasu?
Oh, they do that?
Yeah.
No, they don't tell, you know,
don't tell their parents here in Havasu.
Don't tell the parents that the child wants to be a girl rather than a boy.
They don't do that here in Havasu.
Oh, they don't?
No.
I didn't know that.
At least they didn't. The last school board meeting that I went to in 18.
Oh.
Maybe they've changed it now since you had a newer school board on there, but they asked the school counselor, what do you do if a child is talking about gender dysphoria? Do you bring the parents in and find out what's best for the child? Oh, no, we never bring the parents in because that violates the American Council of School Counselors
right.
rule.
So someone's talking about browsing. It doesn't stop the person going to the library from sitting there looking at them. That's from our text line.
Right, and that's why you need to segregate those books.
Gotcha.
The books that are inappropriate for children, you should have to show your adult library card.
We're going to run right into Hannity, man.
Sure.
Anyway, thanks for being here. It's a great, quick hour. Thanks to the callers that called in. You made this talk radio, not just listen radio. Ron Gould, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Ooh, I'll bring my egg carton next month.
Okay.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, great show today. Thanks again to the callers and to the text that came in, and we appreciate that. There's a lot to talk about right now with the county. And again, don't forget, Hannity's coming up next, preceded by Fox News. And the candidates forum, I announced it earlier, the 23rd of September. Doors open at 5 at the Performing Arts Center. The event starts at 5:30. We'll simulcast it right here on KNTR Talk.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.